I'm an addict, and my name is Andre.
Hey, Andre.
First and foremost, I'd like to get some things out of the way. First and foremost, man, I'd like to thank God, Almighty God. Goes by vast and many names, but I truly know He's the answer to all my dilemmas, to all my problems. Here's the solution. I'd like to thank this convention for choosing me to come share the message of Narcotics Anonymous. Because since I've been here, that's what I've been doing. I share the message of Narcotics Anonymous. I come and bring my experience and strength, but I bring the message of Narcotics Anonymous. I quote from the book, I share the book, and I tell you how I incorporate this process in my life. Thank my wife for coming down the road with me, man. I'm thanking my wife. Each group have a one primary purpose, is to carry the message to the addict who still suffer. I got 10 years, she got 9 years, and we the addict who still suffers. Mm-hmm. We got 21 years of running together. We the addict who still suffers. Sitting in the parking lot yesterday coming down here, but we wasn't even talking to each other. She had to convince me to go in the store to buy me something because the little boy showed up once again. Man, I ain't want to buy me shit. You know, once again, we sitting in the parking lot and we trying to share with each other because she going through her stuff, I'm going through my stuff, and we just ain't clicking. Like, we trying to help my son because he's struggling in school, and look, I'm thinking about coming down this convention. I want to get here. We got some money in the bank. Look, we want to buy some clothes. Like, my son is not with us today, but look, I just don't want to sit and argue. I want to come down the road at 7 o'clock and get here yesterday. You know, I ain't want to be in Baltimore at 10 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, taking my son to school, man, my car broke down. And I need a brake job done. And I called my man, and he told me, look, bring it on down, I'll take care of that. Now, me and my wife arguing in her car, because she just had an accident, and we still suffering. We are arguing, and we're in a parking lot of the head company, not speaking. We're the addict who's still suffering, man. My mind is doing like I got to get down here, and I need time to go through what I need to go through, to study, to practice, to bring this process that I've been in since I've been here, so I can deliver a clear, precise, NA message. And we sitting in the parking lot, man, and we ain't bringing God in. She in her stuff, I'm in my stuff, and I'm in my little boy's stage, and she's saying, no matter what, I'm going to buy you something. And I'm saying, I'm going to take me home. Ain't nothing you can give me right now. I'm stuck and stupid. I'm back to old behaviors. Look, I told you we ran together. I am Andre's a husband to my wife and a father to my son. I am the man of my house. But some days little boys show up, man, I want to be the addict, the guy who's controlling the situation, the outcome, the surroundings. I just wanted to get here to share the message. The message was sitting in my car, and me and my wife was in the parking lot arguing for 45 minutes before I said, look, we need to stop, pray. We can start our day over right now. And some other shit went down. We became happy, joyous, and free. We went shopping. We sitting there eating. My son called me up. Say, Grandmama ain't picked me up. I'm still at school. School is every 5 minutes, it's $10. It's at 3 o'clock. He get out at 2:45. So I had to pick him up at 4:15, so you know what kind of bill I got. Grandmama ain't answering her phone. Nobody never picked him up. So we had to turn around and go get him. Remember, I still ain't got the car. Her car banged up. So we ran around in her car making a lot of noise, going to get my son who was left. My primary purpose is to get here. Her primary purpose is to take care of my son, get him home safely, not leave him in the house by himself. I got an 80-pound white boxer who's suffering pain and suffering right now because he's going through something. He's sick. He on medication. I got to get here. I'm talking about 5 o'clock. I ain't still left Baltimore. my running partner, who I work with, who is my sponsee, man, we tied the thieves, celebrated yesterday, 6:30. I couldn't make it there. So my other support group supported him for me. I got to get here. My son is with me. Nobody never picked him up. They're not answering the phone. My mind is on getting here. Still suffering addict, me. I ain't packed, man. So I'm just trying to do what we need to do. Understand and look. If I'd have left what I wanted to leave, he'd have been left at school. We never talked to grandmama until 8:30, because she had forgot. I called her sister to pick him up. She told me, bring him to him. Me and my wife still ain't packed. And I'm trying to get down the road mentally. Because my son going through something, and I need to be there for him. I'm telling you why I'm so mentally, you know why I'm here mentally. I'm here mentally because my son was failing in school. My wife told me she needed my support with him. She said, you need to cut your sponsors off because I got about maybe 20. Some working and some not. You know how we are. Some in name. Most of them in name. They come in the meeting, that's my sponsor. They ain't working. You know, but I'm their sponsor. She said, look, that step work need to be slowed down. All of them, because I'm a meet-and-go-to-making person. I go to meetings every day. Then you got to slow them down a little bit because your son is failing in school. We got to get him in a private school and out of private school into a Baltimore City school. I need you home. You need to slow them step work down with all them guys coming in and out of our house. My sponsorship had a convention last week. I couldn't make it. Look, I'm the man when I'm at the sponsorship. Everybody respects me and likes talking to me, and I've just missed it. I go to Detroit every year. I couldn't get to Detroit. So I needed to get here. I felt out of the loop. But I really wasn't out of the loop. They say, look, your primary purpose is to carry the message. Look, my son is a potential addict. He want what he want when he want it. He say, look, he enacting, I'm telling him he need to study. He said, I got this. I said, you need to study. It's about acting. He said, I got this. He didn't make it. We tell him to study in school. He in private school. He finished his homework at 3 o'clock. Now, how you in private school and you finish your homework at 3 o'clock? You home all day doing nothing. Tell me you finished. He said he got it. His grades show he ain't got it. His grades show, look, he need a new way of life. He need a program. So I put together a program. He need a sponsor. I'm talking about kind of message. You got to take this thing home. You know, I'm standing there in the car with my wife. I understand. Look, I asked my son, I said, look, you know you ain't making it. He said, look, God got me. I'm going to be all right. I understand God got him. But God also gave you the thing of free will. And you take your will and won't do nothing. He said, you want God to help you, you got to bring a shovel. He don't want to bring a shovel. And my mind coming here, man. My mind was coming here. Because for real, look, I just wanted to come here to relax. I'm stressed out, something fierce. My sponsor called me and told me, look, you know you got this meeting, bring your tools. I said, he done hookwinked me again. I ain't come down here to do this. But once he told me, I'm off. Once you tell me I got it, I'm off and doing taking care of what I need to take care of to go into this process that I'm going to share with y'all. To put my life in how I bring the fifth tradition in my life and bring my life together. So I'm sitting in at home. They told me I'm coming to get my car. We packed. We finally got in touch with grandmama. So at 9:30, I left Baltimore and came here. I couldn't even get a meeting yesterday. I got here at 10 after 12. Registered my room and told the guy, I ain't make Friday, so that means I ain't got to pay for Friday, right? I only got to pay for Saturday. He said, no. You put it on reserve. I said, but my mind went, I ain't getting no meetings. How you gonna charge me for not getting no meetings? I'm telling you where I went, it ain't about paying. Look, I ain't getting no meetings. So why should I have to pay for a hotel room I ain't sleeping? That wasn't my primary. My primary purpose was to come down here and get a meeting and get a hotel for 2 days. Then I got to pay for 2 days for a hotel, and I got to come here today and share my experience, strengths, and hopes and pay for a room that I ain't even used yesterday. I said, look, Saturday started at 12 midnight. I said, carry the message, man. Carry the message. I learned since I've been here, man, you go through great lengths. I understand, like, all that I went through yesterday, man, was through God's grace. All that I went through, man, my son was taken care of and put in safety with his grandmother. If I left when I wanted to left and did what I wanted to did, man, I don't know what happened. My son, he wouldn't have called nobody. He stayed home by himself. He'd have been on the internet, in the PlayStation, food been everywhere. He wouldn't have called nobody. He'd have thought he could live alone. That was the last thing I told him. If we don't leave, if we have to leave you here, don't you live alone. Don't you let me come back and catch your children, not call nobody. But that ain't God's plan. That's my plan. You know, was to stay home and tell him it's all safe. Because he's going to get me here. If look, this is a God-sent program, and if God chose you to deliver the message, look, that's all you got to do is keep doing what you're going to do until you're going to get here enough time. Even if I had to get here at 12 o'clock today, I understand I'd have made this meeting. I'd just been getting out of my car and went in here with my books in my hand to do this meeting. But if God chose me to do this, no matter what went down from yesterday to now, I'd have got here. And that was my blessing. And that was what this process have allowed me to do. Me and my wife sitting in the car coming down the road, understanding all that drama we had yesterday. Through the whole day, it was about taking care of our son. It's about taking care of our business. Because I'm going to get here and do this. That's why he brought me here. Third tradition telling me, look, the same God that brought me here is still with me. So I'm going to be here. I just got to have faith that no matter what I'm going through, it's just life on life experience. It's just what I had to go through yesterday to make my son safe, my dog safe, my house safe. And I got here safe. We don't want to talk about, look, I come from the Promise of Freedom Home Group. You know, and I come from a step meeting, Baltimore, Maryland, a step meeting. It's a no-nonsense step meeting. People don't even like coming in there chanting a step meeting because we know nonsense. And our format, we chose the format, and we're talking about choosing the format, and our format is whatever step you're on, you can't run from one to that step. You got to come in there and share on that step. If you're on step five and you share on step four, the secretary's job is to cut you off and say, stay in step five. That's how we are. We know nonsense. And most people don't like coming in that meeting. If it's your anniversary, we don't care. You got to share on the step that we're on or the previous step you work with your sponsor. We're trying to deliver a precise message in my home group. Because there are other meetings around at the same time my home group is, there's no step meetings. So we want a strong step meeting. So we invite people out of town. We have some members in our home group with substantial clean time, and I think I could use this guy named Nick Thomas is one of the main members of my home group. And if you say you're in the Promises of Freedom, they say Thomas's home group. But not only Thomas the member of that home group, I'm the second oldest member in that home group. And we don't pay that no attention. Like they give the home group a name. It's not a name, it's a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. We're just thrilling what we do down there. All the home group members in my home group, like we don't walk around and tell you, look, keep the noise down. Home group members get up and walk kindly up to you and ask you, look, we're trying to keep this meeting conducive to recovery. If you're hanging out in front of my home group, we'll go out there and tell you, look, you can't hang out here. But you got to either come in or move on. Because our home group is in the middle of a major drug area. Yeah, they clacking all day long. They don't care nothing about us being narcotics. Nothing. They clack right off, right out the alley from where my home group is. So we got to go out to tell the home group members, if you're in this process or you're in this meeting, please don't hang out here. That's what carrying the message is about. You know, the message is about, like, we have other people in our home group who go to service. And we don't try to get in the service because, like, most of the people in my home group got a year clean time. If you come in and you do the work that we say do, most people get it because they want to celebrate. They work a first step. They don't get no more than that. They get that in. So what happens in this home group, man, is people don't want to share. People don't want to come and bring the message. So we have to go around and choose people, because we require our secretary to choose people who have worked step work. I mean, you got to go to step meetings and hear people who share steps. It's about kind. Look, it says the steps are the solution. If they're my solution, then I need to find somebody who got the solution. I need to find somebody who's staying in the solution. They say, look, this is a new way of life. Look, it says, fifth tradition. Our message is that any addict can stop using. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to show any addict, if you come in here, work some steps, work some traditions, you won't use. And so you'll lose the desire to use. So we come in here and we teach people to find out what we do and use desire. And say, look, a new way of life. The steps are the solution to my hopeless dilemma and my new way of life that I have incorporated. It's about working steps and tradition. It's about showing a newcomer, man, how we do this. How I get 10 years. How I stay plugged in. How I go through with the difficulties that I went through yesterday, but I still got here. Life on life terms brings problems, but I had to change my thinking, and I still got to come. Because the same God that brought me here, man, is with me, and he's going to get me here. So I stick out of my head. I do what y'all told me to do. And I keep recovering a day at a time. I'm an addict named Andre. I'd like to thank y'all.
Thank you. Hi, again, my name is Marsha, your recovering secretary, and Richie is going to be our next speaker.
My name is Richie. I'm an addict.
Richie.
Thanks, Andre. Yeah, I hit my list. My home group is in Island Park, New York. We meet Thursday nights, 8 o'clock. Help each other stay clean. Come on, visit. It's air conditioned meeting. Promotion, a little attraction there. I'm not a convention speaker. I did it once before, and it was on a concept at 9 in the morning, and there was 4 people there. So if I told you I'm not nervous, I'd be lying. So I'm hoping sharing that with you, maybe I'll calm down a little bit. You know, I just, you know, my fear is that I'm going to find out I have to go to the bathroom while I'm standing here. I'll let you know, that's right. One thing I noticed about when Andre came up and he had his books out there, and I have mine here, and I noticed as I, you know, I go to conventions, I see people speak everywhere. And it always seems to me like the people that are speaking about service, or they're speaking on traditions, or they're speaking on steps, or they're an old-timer, that they seem to have this stuff with them. You know, they have it with them, and I'm sitting over there thinking about how come that is. And, you know, I'm realizing it's because we're not giving you, I'm not here to tell you about my message. I'm here to tell you about this message here. He's here to tell you about that message. Yeah, that's why we got this stuff, you know. I'm an old man, I don't remember everything, so I need to have this stuff with me. Then I make some notes too, you know. Let me tell you something I did funny, because, you know, I was on my computer and made myself some notes to read from, but when I was sitting upstairs, I wrote some stuff on the other side. So now, you know, I got to choose one of those, but that's the way it goes, right? Anyway, You know, I do want to thank the convention committee, the programming chair, the CMP region for having the convention, for asking me to come and being part of it, and everybody else that's a part of it, everybody else that's here as well, you know. I want to thank definitely Narcotics Anonymous for saving my life and my ass, my face. I want to thank Narcotics Anonymous for introducing me to a higher power, because when I came in, I didn't know nothing about that stuff. You know, I have higher power today. And that's a real important part of the program. And it took me a long time to get it. And it's okay. You know, if you're new and you're stuck on that second step and you hear people talking about God and higher power and spirituality, don't worry. Don't worry. Just don't use today. You know, that's all you got to do. You know, when I came into the rooms, I thought that I was going to have a problem not using for the rest of my life, because I used mostly all of my life. At that point, I had been using, you know, I was in my 30s, I had been using 20 years. And I didn't know how I was going to do that. Somebody said, you know, just don't do it today, you know. And I remember my first day out of a rehab, and I went to some treatment center for 9 or 10 months a couple of times, and I just mentioned that because that's not part of our program. That's not the way NA works, but that's the way I found NA. And my first day out, and I went to a meeting because that's what they told me to do. And I got a sponsor while I was still there because that's what they told me to do. And I called my sponsor. My first day out, I said, I feel like using. He says, listen, do me a favor. Don't pick up. Call me back in 5 minutes. And I called him back in 5 minutes. He said, how do you feel? I said, I feel like using. He said, do me a favor, Rich, don't pick up, call me back in 5 minutes. And I called him back in 5 minutes. He said, how do you feel now? I said, I still want to get high, man, I can't. He says, don't pick up, wait 5 minutes, call me back. You know what? At midnight, he says, go to bed, start over tomorrow. And that's the way it worked for me in the beginning, 5 minutes at a time. Then it was, you know, an hour at a time. It was 5 days at a time till I came to the point where, like we talk about, we lose the desire to use, you know. I know I could stop using. I stopped a lot of times. Every time I had handcuffs on me. Every time I sat in a jail cell. Every time I was in the hospital. Every time my parents locked me in my room. Every time I had no money to cop. You know, I knew I could stop using, but I couldn't stay stopped. I couldn't lose the desire to use. Certainly didn't know about another way of life. Narcotics Anonymous showed me all that. Narcotics Anonymous, if I could say it right, Narcotics Anonymous did tell me that there's another way to live. You know, our message, and you know, this the tradition that we're on, the fifth tradition, talks about our message. And our message is that any addict can stop using. You know, any addict. And why do we say any addict? Because some people smoke crack, and some shoot heroin, and some are smoking weed, and some are, you know, sticking opium up their ass. It really doesn't matter what you're doing, or how you're doing it, or how much you did, or how little you did, or how often you did it. The fact is, if you're an addict and drugs are a problem in your life, there's a place where you could come and learn how to not use, where you can stop using, lose the desire. That's what happens. You know, if you go long enough without it, you find you don't need it, and you lose that desire because you find something to replace it with. Maybe a little spirituality. We call it recovery. You know, for me, I got to go back to me and what happened to me. You know, I thought I could never stop using, and I did stop using. Eventually, I stopped. You know, I went to the meetings. I got a sponsor. I made phone calls. I got phone numbers. I got my key tags. Where I come from, we get our key tags. And I came early to the meetings, and I stayed late. You know, what I found out was that if I stopped using and didn't change anything, that I was going to be clean and miserable. Our message says that we could stop using, lose the desire, and find a new way to live. That's a big and find a new way to live. It's not one or the other. It's got to be together, you know, for it to work for us. That's what we got to do. And I found a new way to live. And for me, my old way was, you know, just lying, stealing, cheating, manipulating, conning, you know, bullshitting my way through life. You know, whether I was, you know, lying, cutting classes in school, or robbing purses, or, you know, whatever I did, you know. It was a lousy way to live. It was miserable. I was one of those people, everybody has a different bottom. And, you know, we tend to think in bottoms in terms of what we lose financially, what we lose, the material things. I lost everything. My wife left. She took the kids. She took the dog. She took the bird and the cat and the turtle. I lost my job. I lost my car. I lost my house. I lost my family. And yet I kept using. So for me, it wasn't about all that, but I woke up one day so fucking miserable, I couldn't stand it anymore. You know, and there's three things I remember in my life really big. The first day I used alone, and that's big because I know that day that I crossed the line. I can look back now and see that something happened. It was always for me about getting high. It was like going out with the gang on the weekend, you know, smoking a couple dupes and, you know, going to the movies or go goof on people, throw eggs or whatever, you know, at the cars passing by, whatever we did. But I remember that first time that I got high was in my room alone, and I was smoking a joint. And that's what I started with. Some people, you know, it's not always that. And I knew when I was doing it that, you know, it wasn't a social thing anymore. It wasn't like, hey, I'm getting together with everybody. You know, I'm just here by myself and I'm doing it. And I did it anyway. And from there, it just went, you know. I remember that day. I remember my last day using. My last day using, and it was after, you know, just about 20 years. And I wound up with this guy. I was over in Bushwick in Brooklyn, if you know the neighborhood. It's not where, you know, it's not where I should be, certainly. It's probably not where most of us should be at that particular street corner. But that's where I wound up, for all the wrong reasons. And I hooked up with some guy. I had fired from a job like 5-6 years before, and we had, at that time, we had a fist fight, and you know, I didn't like the guy and he didn't like me. And to tell you the truth, you know, we talk about, like, if you were the last guy on earth, I wouldn't, you know, spit on your grave. This was the lowest last guy on earth. But because he had the stolen credit card and I knew we had a cop, all of a sudden we were like, you know, buddies in bed. And that's the way it goes, you know. When you're addicts and you have addiction in common, you find ways to get together like that too, you know. So we spent that night using, like, you know, using till the, you know, till that card was no good anymore, and we had no more money. And I said, listen, I think I could scam somebody out of some money. And he took me to some store like 20 miles away on the street corner. It was like 7:38 in the morning, and I went inside. I said, I'll be back in 5 with some cash. And I came out, and the guy was gone. And the little bag of shit that I had, had a jacket or something, and was on the street corner there. And it was like middle of January. It was below zero. It was really cold. I had frostbite. I had been living on the street for months and months and months, and I was beat, man. I was really, 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 really beat. And I just looked up. The sun was coming up, and I said, "Oh, Rich, check it out, the lowest guy on earth threw you out of his car." Wow. That was my first spiritual awakening, I gotta tell you. That was my last day using. That was over 12 and a half years ago. And I tell you how long I'm clean, because if I could do it, you could do it too. And I, you know, it's only a day at a time, like I said before. You know, to get into the tradition a little bit in another way, where we talk about every group has one primary purpose: to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. You know, sometimes it says, it talks to us about, you know, I've been reading through our literature lately, since you know, Major asked me if I could do this. And I have found in the literature that it talks about different messages that we carry, although they're all sort of related to the same. You know, in some places it says, you know, that our message is hope and freedom from active addiction. You know, it's really just another way of saying that we don't have to use and we can find a new way to live. You know, this tradition talks about the groups. You know, in the 12th step, we talk about the individual. And if you're doing that right, you know, these are really tied together. You know, the individual is carrying the message. But when we get together as individuals into a group, then we carry the message. And it tells us in our stuff, in our literature, that the group is, the quote, I think, is the group is the most powerful vehicle we have for carrying the message. And why is that? It's because if I could carry a message, if Andre could carry a message, if our beautiful secretary could carry a message, Imagine when we all get together and carry that same message at once. If you're all in here showing up today, and you know what? By showing up here today, you're carrying a message to someone else who walks in that door. Because when we come in a room like this, or any other meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, we have two things in common. We have addiction, we have the disease of addiction in common, but we have recovery in common. And that's you know, that's our message, man, that we could show up for stuff like this. We find out that when addicts experience the message of recovery, we find healing from our suffering, no matter what the cause. No matter what the cause. This is so awesome that we could come in this room and whatever's going on in our lives, whatever, we find that we could deal with it. We find that, you know, the big difference for me between the way my life was using and the way it's not using is I could see what's on the plate in front of me and figure out how to deal with it. I can live up to some responsibilities. I can overcome some fears. I can, you know, walk through some stuff that in the past my way of dealing was getting high and avoiding it, you know, pretending it wasn't there. You know, my drug of choice, I say, was fantasy, you know, because I couldn't be in the reality, whatever it was. Just give me more fantasy. Let's pretend it's not there. Just get me out of this mess that I got myself in. Of course, I didn't know I got myself in it. You know, that's the other part. It's everybody else's fault. I'm here because of my parents. I'm here because of the cops. That cop caught me. Not that I did something wrong, but he caught me. It's his fault. They threw me out of school. Not because of what I did, because they're messed up. But our message is that, you know, no matter what the cause, no matter what brings you in this room, no matter what kind of pain, whether the judge sent you here, the spouse, the parents, the kids, or you just walked in because you're tired of living the way you were living, whatever it is, you can experience our message of recovery. It tells us in here on page 160 of It Works How and Why, it says, the group's focus on carrying the message is so important to the survival of NA that it is called our primary purpose. That means it's the most important thing we do as a group. That's the most important thing. A meeting is not a group, you know. Meetings carry the messages. Meetings carry messages through the addicts that are there. Our groups carry the message through the meetings they make. You know, when we come here, there are no groups here, really. There's a lot of meetings, but no groups, you know. When I go back home at 8 o'clock Thursday night, Island Park, that's a group. And we carry that message. One of the things it tells us to do, or asks us to do, is suggest that we do, however you want to take that. And this is the way I take it. I take suggestions as, yeah, okay, I understand, you don't want to tell me what to do, but you are telling me what to do, and I'm going to do it. Because my way didn't work. You could call suggestions. I'm hip to that scam. I know what that's about, you know. Because we don't want people telling us what to do. Because, you know, tell me it's white, I say it's black. Tell me it's day, I say it's night. Just like that. No rhyme or reason. That's the way. It's just more my fantasy, I guess. But I know the suggestions for me are real. You know, I know they're not there to. I used to think, what are they telling me this for? Why do I got to get phone numbers for? I don't want to call anybody. You know what? They're not there to hurt us. Suggestions are there to help us. Man, we got. You know, once you catch on to that, things start to go a little bit smoother. When we talk about our groups carrying the message, we're talking about creating an atmosphere of recovery where people can actually come and be comfortable, have a place to go. You know, we come from all walks of life, and we do all sorts of things outside the room. And where we might even be in conflict in a lot of situations when we meet outside. But when we come inside that room, there's one thing, man, we're there to help each other. You know, that's what it's about. That's what, when we talk about an atmosphere of recovery, what it means is that that's where you get into one addict helping another. That's where you get into, like, somebody, you know, standing at the front door and giving you a big hug and a welcome and a greeting, you know. That's a good way to start, you know, with an atmosphere of recovery. It's talking about like introducing yourself to somebody, to a newcomer, to an old-timer, to a face you never saw before. Listen, over here I'm getting a sore chest just from hugging everybody, because if I don't know you, I try and say hello to you and let you know my name, that I'm in recovery, you know. It's about passing out your phone numbers. You know, there's controversy where I live. They in some of the meetings, they say, well, don't pass out phone numbers because then you're enabling. They're not asking. And then there's the group that says, well, let's reach out and do it. You know, I'm with them. I'm saying, because I know when I came in, it was tough for me. I could barely walk in that room, much less ask somebody for a phone number. I see a new person come in. I walk over to them and say, here's my phone number. I don't get a lot of calls, but I give that number out all the time. I think in 12 years I might have got from that 5 or 6 phone calls. But I make the effort. I let them know I care. And that's what I need to do. I can't just come in there and ignore people. I can't come in there and see somebody new walk in that room and just pretend like, so what? Because somebody was there for me. And if I want somebody there for me, if I need be ever again, I need to keep doing the right thing. I need to keep doing the same thing. Says in It Works How and Why, it talks about our purpose as group members. It talks about responsibilities for keeping the meeting recovery oriented. It talks about responsibilities. You know what? If you have a home group and their policy, they have some policy that says you don't wear hats, then you respect it if you're a member of the group. And when you see someone else come in, you politely ask them, you say, you know, in this group we don't wear hats. If they want to take it off or not, that's another thing. But it's the responsibility of someone as a member of a group to do what the group has policies on. And that helps, you know, because that's talking about unity. It's another thing they talk about in Tradition 5. You know, I know sometimes in the past we've seen groups that they're trying to outdo each other. It talks about that in our literature, you know. Some groups have, you know, 15 different, Jamaican coffee, vanilla coffee, almond flavor coffee with cookies and, you know, cakes and all that stuff. And you know what? That's not part of our program. If your group can't afford cookies and coffee, don't buy it. If you can't afford key ticks, don't buy it. Our primary purpose is to carry the message of recovery of Narcotics Anonymous. And we're not about, that's why we make areas and stuff. So we could get into doing that other stuff that frees up the groups. Carry the message through H&I, carry the message through PI, carry the message through events and activities, showing that recovery works, showing that it's more than showing up at a meeting. You know, I talk a lot about all the other stuff that's part of the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. It's not just meetings. It's not just showing up, you know, for an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever, or an hour, I guess, some places. It's about, you know, getting involved in that basketball tournament, or where I come from, we're a beach town. You know, we have picnics on the beach. We do fishing trips. We have tennis teams and bowling leagues. We do all kinds of stuff outside the room, outside the meeting. You know, and it's because we're clean, and it's another way that we carry the message. You know, the most effective way to carry the message is stay clean. Let somebody see you living clean. There's nothing more effective than that. And when we get together as a whole bunch of us doing that as a group, wow. It talks in Tradition 5, and It Works How and Why, about, you know, having an effective format for your groups. You know, listen, if your group is near a hospital or a detox and you got newcomers coming in all the time, and, you know, the average clean time is a week or two or three, you know, maybe it shouldn't be a tradition study. Maybe it should be a newcomers meeting. Maybe it should be a step 1, 2, 3 meeting. You know, that's an important thing. You know, we have to be aware of who we're carrying the message to as well. And that's a responsibility of members of the group. They talk about doing group inventories. How do you know if your group is carrying the message the best way that they can? Well, page 162, It Works Out Why, has the suggested questions for group inventory. How well are we carrying the message? Are the addicts of our group? Are there any addicts we're not reaching? How can we make our meetings more accessible? What can we do to make members feel more at home? What can we do to make new members feel, and old members? Would a change in our meeting format strengthen the atmosphere? Do we consider the needs of the larger NA community as a whole? I mean, these are questions that groups need to ask themselves. You know, listen, we do inventories, our personal inventories. You know, we have steps for that. But we do have traditions for our group inventories as well, tradition of five. Thank God I made notes. It talks in here about the principles of our program and how we use them as a group, you know. I know that I didn't understand traditions when I first came into the fellowship. The focus that all I ever heard about a lot was steps, you know. Steps. And then I got a different sponsor and he said, steps and traditions. I said, huh? He said, yeah, steps and traditions. It's 12 and 12 and that's the way it works. And he, you know, I started to study that. And he was one of those sponsors that says, if you want me to sponsor you, if you want what I have, the way I did it was through service, that's what you need to do. That was his suggestion, which meant I had to do it. And that's what I did. And that's what I do for my sponsees now. Somebody wants me to sponsor them, first thing I tell them is you got to do service. I don't care if it's making coffee at your home group or if it's chairing a meeting at area. It doesn't matter to me. Service. You know, because if I'm going to make a commitment to somebody, I need to see that they're committed as well. And to me, this is what commitment is. You know, it's. I don't know why it is. It's really sad, but 5% of the addicts in our program do 100% of the service. Just go and look in your areas, regions, and home groups. It's the same people, always, always. And it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't need to be like that, and it shouldn't be like that. You know, there's no shoulds. That shouldn't be. But. We know that we call the newest member the most important person in any meeting. We don't say the most important addict. We don't say the most important member because they're the most important person in any meeting because we can only keep what we have when we give it away. And that just means we need to share something with somebody so that they could share it with somebody and they could share that with somebody so that our fellowship lives on. You know, if we stop sharing, we will wither away and die, you know. And what I like in this book on page 163, it says, the still suffering addict with whom we share our hope may be any one of us, regardless of clean time. Tradition 5 is not limited to helping newcomers. The message of recovery is for all of us. And that's really important because you know what? As we get clean, things happen in our lives. We still have problems. We still have feelings. We still have fears. We have new fears. New feelings, you know what, this stuff that comes up for me, you know, almost on a daily basis, feelings I haven't felt before. And maybe they've been stuffed there, maybe I just didn't recognize it. Maybe I just didn't know how to deal with it, you know. But that stuff happens, and that's why I still go to meetings. You know, Andre talked about still going to meetings every day. And I like to go to meetings, you know. I don't know if I have to or I don't have to. I don't know. All I know is I like going enough that I go, and I enjoy it, you know. One of my sponsors asked me, he says, well, how long do I have to go to meetings? I said, I don't even know what I said. It was a joke there that I forgot. I'll get back to that. Yeah. There are spiritual principles implied in Tradition 5. And it talks about it in our literature as well. It talks about integrity, unity, responsibility, anonymity. These are the same things that we use in our personal recovery, and we need to use them in group recovery as well. Each group is responsible to be as effective as it can, a vehicle to carry the message. Varied members have different messages, you know. Varied members have different ways of presenting the message. Some will get up here and talk really, really loud, and some don't. And some throw in a lot of humor, and some don't. And there's a lot of different ways. You go around, you see, you know, but we're all carrying the same message, you know. We carry the message, we don't carry the mess. You know, we're not here to carry the addicts. We're not here to carry the wreckage of our lives. We're here to let you know that we can stay clean, we can find a new way to live. As a group, no matter what's going on in the group, how each different member individually carries a message, as a group, we're carrying one really powerful message. Don't have to use. Find a new way to live. And it's possible. And I know I keep saying the same thing, but you know, that's what it's all about. You know, for me, repetition was a really good thing. You got to drill it into my head, you know. The anonymity part as a principle of this tradition is really important because it talks about no personality standing out, you know. Not that it's Andre's meeting or my meeting or anybody else's meeting. Although sometimes we tend to associate certain people with certain meetings, but you know what? We know deep down that it's not their meeting, that if they weren't there, we know that if you and that your buddy there weren't there, that meeting would go on. And it would carry the same message whether you show up or not that night, whether I show up or not, whether you're there or not. You know what? What's that joke? You know, if there's a guy in the woods talking and it's not up to me to impose that on somebody. Am I willing to 12-step the next newcomer without regard to what's in it for me? And you know, a lot of people get stuck in, like, you know, they pick which one they're going to help according to what might come back to them. We ask ourselves, do I help my group in every way I can to help fulfill a primary purpose? How many people go to a meeting week after week after week and all you do is walk in and walk out? You ever set up, ever come early and set up the chairs, ever offer to make the coffee, ever offer to help clean up, even if there's a coffee person? They need help. Do I remember that any old timers too can be addicts who still suffer? Do I try both to help them and learn from them? That's the one I like. Because I found out that the longer I'm around, and the more stuff that comes into my life, and the more I accomplish and the more things I get, the more I have to lose. You know? When I had nothing, it was a little bit easier to deal with, you know? But when I had money in the bank and I had a house and I had to file for bankruptcy after all that, that was tough. But I didn't use. Okay? And that's the bottom line. I didn't use. And you don't have to. I'm in a club. We call it the No Matter What Club. No matter what, just don't use. My name is Rich. I'm an addict. Yeah. You got it.
Again, I'm Marcia, your recovering secretary. Okay, let's thank Andre and Richie for good message. Okay, I wanted to ask Cheryl Reed just for today for us.
Hi, my name is Cheryl, and I'm at.
Hi, Cheryl.
Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associates, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I will have nothing to fear. Just for today.
Okay, we have a beautiful... Do I have to close this meeting? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a beautiful way of closing. Serenity prayer and the Lord's, or just serenity. Okay. God. I'm taking on Andre. Sure. My heart about the bus, honey. Yeah, it is Andre. My heart about the bus.
Why?
Because I don't know what I'm doing.
Don't worry about it.
I do not know what I'm doing.
Okay.
Okay.
Silence, that's why we're here, Father, by the Serenity Prayer.
stop.
Amen. We are. Yo, right.
Brother, man.
You right. Do you remember 92 with changing course?
Yes.
That's where I met you.
Yes.
God is good, man. God is good. You were so willing, man. You were so willing then, man. When I think I made it. Y'all said I'm going to make it. I thank God I made it back. Remember, I think I changed it for it. I think I honored it. I think of you a lot.
Which one y'all on post? Which one y'all posted?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be postman
today. You're going to be postman today? That's right. Deliver the mail, man. Deliver the mail.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be postman
today. How you doing,
Daddy?
Hey,
it ain't bad, man. White one to buy me treatment, act like a fool. He says, well, we said this by the haircut. And we ain't going. I don't even know you're gonna buy something. He said, look, you might leave that little boy and leave him alone with my son.
And bring God in and pray, you know.
I wanna be here last night. Okay. I wanna get here yesterday evening at 12 noon.
Okay.
But if I wanna stay, I wanna stay home, man. I pay him a card, I'm putting my card out here with no break. My son got left at school with a bunch of shit, man. So I just stayed and took me all that until I got here like 12 o'clock last night. Everything set up, got me a nice room. I couldn't find a hotel. Last call. And here we got one. 55. I'm teaching. You know me. $150 room, $95 a night, $150 a night, went to linen change, went on the towel change.
Yeah.
I got all that.
See, I got
work. We need bank guards. We have some food.
Yep.
And yep. This is the thing it's about. That's what I said about. It's coming here. No one that gave me the commitment. My father called me and said, no, you got to kill me. And I said, no. You got to kill still suffering at me. Because I'm going to get you a standing. And then Mary gives me a VV day, do the convention, hang out, do what I do, you know. The God's gonna get me here. Mm-hmm. And his right time, I told him, we gotta get here at 12:30. This was my meeting for God to get me here. Time to put it upon that. Right now, 12:30. Run in here to do this meeting. I need to stop tripping. And I'm gonna be all right. Because I gotta get here to see everything. Call my son. Got a great room. Saved some money.
Everything worked out.
I'm telling you.
Man, that's how it was for us, man. We supposed to leave 9 o'clock this morning, but God said, no, y'all gonna leave when I want you to
leave. Leave when you want you to leave. You're gonna get there. This is where I got you going, man. You're gonna get here.
Oh, yeah, but I wasn't thinking, well, fuck, I ain't even going. I called my girl. I said, look, you want me to spend the day with you? It's 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you don't belong. That's what I'm going to do.
You can't even be alone. You know? Ain't no lie.
God wanted me to be on this
one. He wanted you on this boat. And then he was going to stay here. I said, look, if I say my partner walk up there and me, taller than me, he never taller than me. I'm getting a gun, and he's going to go beat me. Yeah. But he had to have a stop talk. He's all right. I got to go.
What's your name saying to me that night? Is it me? Okay.
My buddy.
Yeah. I'm doing that beat.
That's my buddy.
Then I saw this, he done went insane when I was got left alone. Clean. Come on. If I had $1 million, I could use success. God almighty, what the fuck I be doing? You tell me, you made it. I'm afraid it doesn't have me. If I had $1 million, I could use success. Like the money,
the money gonna make the
difference. Yeah, right?
I'm gonna make the difference.
$1 million, man.
Yeah, Jack.
So, $1 million, and I can use success. $1 million be gone, you be still caught up like this.
$1 million be gone, I'd be in a hopeless state of mind.
Yes, sir. Crazy little.
Yeah, man.
Crazy little. This is good for me, man. What's the next meeting going on?
Tradition. Oh, man, going to support.
Yeah.
We're taking a bath. I came in here on a sex tradition. I did 5. You doing 4. They going down, so they're going up. It's the evening time. They should be going up the ladder.
Well, you know each group is on the
I'm telling you. That's the same thing. That's all.
They're doing it the way they're doing it. They're
convinced. It's working. Hey! It's working. I came in according to this. I said, yeah, that's what I need. I'm good with that one. I'm going to get my wife and let her know I'm going to be around here, man. Yeah. That's why I'm going to be here for a minute.
Said, no, we don't need
that. Oh, man, you got a package. still a packet, man. They're trying to find out who they is. And, you know.
Okay. Thanks, Andre.
So what this is about, it's going to be all the way from 12:30 tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's some kind of activities we're going to have going on for the kids until then.
Registration area, Exhibit Hall C.
I don't
know yet. Any services that include all child and youth activities? So it must be some child and youth activities.
Yes, what it is. There's a big ocean around it, and the city is right next to it.
That's why
Atlantic City is called Atlantic City, because it's right next to the ocean.